numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Say it with me. Baton Rouge. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Kelly, this hour, still to come. Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke. Joe Pita joins us to talk about Circa Survivor, Circa Millions, and, of course, a profit exchange over there in New Jersey. Betting on an exchange, Nirvana. Will Hill joins us momentarily, but there's a couple things we have to clarify. One, we're going through BYU's schedule, right? And we're like, okay, like there's totally a path. They beat Oregon. For the next at least 3 weeks, you think, they're, you know, I don't know, we shouldn't even say at least, but like they play enough opponents here where they're going to be part of this discussion if they can still, if they could just continue to win. But then on November 19th, there's a game, it says, versus Utah Tech. And we were like, wait, what?
I started yelling downstairs. I'm like, is that a school? I'm like, are we sure that is correct?
And you did the deep dive. This is your VSiN deep dive.
And I feel like this is, I'm not even a college basketball guy. You know that, Gil. But I feel like when you're just looking through the college basketball lines and schedule for on Saturday, you'd always see Dixie State pop up randomly. And I'm like, no idea where that school is. Dixie State changed its name to Utah Tech. So, Utah Tech, formerly known as Dixie State.
Dixie State was in Utah all this time?
Yeah, who knew that?
Because when you think Utah, you think Dixie.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's an hour and 52-minute drive for Las Vegas, just across the border.
Utah Jazz, of course, being one of the great oxymorons of all time, with the Jazz being born in New Orleans there and ending up in Utah. The other thing is, you were just talking about when we're making bets, and they give you drink tickets, right? So over at the Aria, I, you know, make bets from time to time if they have the best number. Yesterday, both the Atlanta Braves plus 175 to win the division and the Framber Valdez at 50-1. Best numbers in town were at MGM here in Nevada. So I went and made my bets. And they offer you drink tickets if your bets are big. And, you know, it's very standard. Hey, you want drink tickets? I always turn them down because this just in. I don't drink.
Yeah. So do you even have the app? Or do you just always
walk downstairs?
Oh, I
have the app. I always have the app, but it's next door. So I see what the lines are, and I just pound over there. And so, you know, with this one, I used to get Cokes, right? Coca-Colas. But I try not to drink soda, so I usually just like, yeah, no, you can give your drink tickets. But then I found out, you know what I found out? Pro tip. Ready for this?
Pro tip.
VSiN, pro tip of the hour. They have Fiji waters, right? If I go with my drink tickets, they
give
me Fiji.
That's the good stuff.
So my apartment is like the Kardashians now. It's filled with Fiji waters. How about that move?
That's a smooth move. That's a smooth move.
And we agree. You and I agree. It's the best water on earth.
Oh, it's one of those arguments I hate getting in because, no, I'm not paying to stock my fridge with it. But, like, a move like you're pulling, it's genius because, yes, it is better than any other bottled water out there. I don't want to hear it from anybody else.
We will.
I don't care how bougie that sounds. Fiji water is just better, okay? It is.
We will not debate this subject. This is your bougie moment on A Numbers Game. Will Hill's bougie. Will Hill, of course, at not the Will Hill on Twitter. How you doing, Will?
I'm okay. I was a little disappointed with the first hour. When I turned on the show, I expect to hear about breakdancing and anal beads. And yes. I was a little disappointed, but you guys made up for it with the Fiji water and the Utah Tech. So you're back in my good graces.
You're welcome. You're well. By the way, you missed the part where I thought you were going to be the guest on it. I was like, Will Hill, everybody. And then it was John Legaza. So now I should have introduced you as John Legaza. So that happened as well. Let me ask you, those baseball bets I just made. The Braves plus 175. Tied in the loss column, half game behind your, can I call him your? I shouldn't call him your, but you're the New York Mets. I get it. They got seven games against the Phillies. The schedule is tougher than that of the Mets. But come on, plus 175, isn't that just a no-brainer bet?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't bet the Mets. It's just, I'm shocked they lost these three games to the Cubs. They've been so steady, so reliable all year, and they've just played awful this last week or two. They lost two games to the Nationals at home Labor Day weekend. Then they lost the game to the Pirates, then to get swept at home by the Cubbies. Plus 175, I think, is a good bet. I do think the Mets will win it, but I think you got a pretty good number. Remember, they got three games in Atlanta in a few weeks here.
I know.
The way the Mets are playing, I mean, you figure the Mets get one of those, and if they get one, they get the tiebreaker. But I don't know. And to me, this is the biggest story in baseball. This is really the only pennant race.
Yes.
And it's so important. Like we talked about it. If the Mets have to play that best two out of three, first of all, you can lose. You can lose to anybody can lose two out of three, as we've just seen. And then you're going to shoot your pitching, and you're going to have to play the Dodgers in the division round. To me, the Mets are not getting to the World Series if they don't win the division. Atlanta, I don't feel the same way about. First of all, they won a championship last year. It's a little bit of a house money year. And they have those three pitchers that are somewhat interchangeable with Morton, Fried, Strider, which I don't even know how they would order their pitching once you get to the playoffs. But look, if you have to throw Strider game one against the Dodgers and then come back with your other guys, that's not the worst thing in the world. So I think the Mets need to win it more than the Braves, if that makes sense.
All right. And I bet Valdez finally, right? I've been talking about it for weeks. I finally bet him yesterday at 50-1. He's about half of that right now. I really believe one of these awards is going to a long shot, and I think it's him. Where do you stand on it? AL Cy Young.
Yeah, Cease didn't pitch well yesterday. I'm looking at it right now. Cease is minus 145. Verlander's even money. McClanahan, and I guess these are outdated numbers because they have Valdez way off of that price.
Yeah,
I thought Ohtani had a chance to come up and steal it, but he just doesn't pitch long enough into these games. I think you probably got a pretty good number. If you're willing to split that, you know, we can make some sort of arrangement. I think you probably got a pretty good number.
Yeah, I'm good.
And
50-1.
Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate the offer, though.
They took whatever you wanted on that?
Yes, they did. They took whatever I wanted on that. They'll take a bet. Baseball today, do you have any plays?
No, it's a light card. I've just been betting football. I did bet the Chargers for tonight. I might bet the under. If it's still seven, Gausman and McClanahan, it always worries me. A pitcher coming off the IL, but McClanahan wasn't gone that long. If I'm going to play anything, I might play. That's an early game here, McClanahan and Gausman under the seven.
All right, let's get to the good stuff then. As you just mentioned, Thursday night football. You are taking the Chargers plus the points. Explain.
Yeah, if you look at these two matchups, the two times they played last year, the Chargers should have won both of them. They won in Kansas City, which is not easy to do. Then remember they played that Thursday night game right around Christmas, and the Chargers had five drives inside Kansas City territory where they had turnovers either on downs or just straight up turnovers. Three times inside the three where they came away with no points combined. And to me, the Chargers got a little better. The Chiefs, no Hill, no Butker, which could be big because you look at Amendola, he is not a good kicker. He's fine from 20 and 30, but for his career, 40 yards and longer, he is 2 for 8. So maybe, you know what, if you got to kick a 48-yarder and it's fourth and five, maybe the Chiefs just go for it instead. So that does throw some variance into the game. Maybe he misses an extra point or a field goal. To me, this is Chargers. You know, anything over a field goal, I like the points here. This is usually a really good game, a competitive game. And look, we all know Andy Reid off the bye with extra prep is really good. Well, this is sort of the inverse of that. This is Andy Reid with no prep, only a couple days to get ready. So J.C. Jackson might play. The kicker for the Chiefs isn't going to play. Should be a fun game. Usually we get a couple duds. Usually we get like the Texans and the Bears on Thursday night. So they gave us a treat here. Chargers and Chiefs should be fun. I will take the points here with the Chargers.
Well, wait till Sunday night football, and then you can revisit the dud games probably. But that thing about Butker, I just want to bring this up again because I mentioned it earlier on the show. I don't know if there's an equivalent in any other sport where a specific position determines the outcomes of so many games. And we rarely talk about it. Like for the whole week, right? We're like, oh, quarterback, offensive line, defensive line. We talk about everything else but the kicker. And then when we come back in on Monday, so much of this comes down to a missed field goal or a blocked extra point or whatever, right? And that Butker absence looms large to me. And so Chiefs, again, favored by 4. And Will is taking the points tonight. What else did you bet week one?
I grabbed the Panthers plus 2.5. Well, I actually didn't bet it. I'm going to bet it. I never bet 2.5 this far away from the game just in hopes you get a 3. But to me, the Panthers are still the better team than the Giants. You're getting points. And I really like the angle, an 0-1 team against the 1-0 team, especially if you're getting points. I mean, look, in basketball, baseball, you could be 0-2, 0-3. It's not a big deal. Football, if you're 0-2, that's a crisis. So little motivation edge here for the Panthers. I see it's down to 2.
Kelly,
I will be betting the Panthers here plus the points.
Kelly, did you take Giants ultimately in this?
No, I did not.
You did not. Oh, so you're not off.
I did not.
Okay. No. He thought about it. He didn't do it. All right.
Did you look at the schedule? The Giants, like I like the Panthers this week. The Giants have a legitimate chance to be 4-0 because they're favored this week. They get the Cowboys with no Dak, and then they get, I think, the Bears at home. So there's a chance here where the Giants are 4-0, I'm pretty sure, which is just hard to even fathom.
Yeah, we're going to talk some updated win totals today and tomorrow, Will, but that is the one I actually ended up betting yesterday. It was over 7.5 on the Giants. There is, don't get me wrong, the back end of their schedule is rough, but I think there's a good chance they could go 6-2.
Well, I think the way I would play that is to wait for them to do the 4-0 or the 6-2 and then go under on it.
Oh, I might have both by the end of it.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm looking at the schedule right in front of me. So they're home this week versus the Panthers, home versus the Cowboys, home versus the Bears. Then the Packers is a road game, but that's neutral. I think that's in London. Then they're home versus the Ravens. They don't have a road game till like November here. That's very bizarre.
Well, yeah, after week one. Yeah, the three home games in a row is an anomaly, right? A scheduling anomaly to begin with. So, yeah, I mean, by the time they get to their bye in week nine, you could be looking at like a not only the leader in the NFC East, but one of the best records in the NFC.
They could easily be 6-2.
Yes.
Oh, and then they come out of the bye with the Texans?
Texans and the Lions right after that at home. Man, we didn't do enough on the Giants schedule. I guess we saw at Titans and we're like, well, they'll be 0-1, and we didn't look past that. Good Lord. Man, oh, man. Oh, but then there's the Commanders, 2 out of 3 weeks, Will, so there's that. There's that roadblock. What else did you bet week one besides the Panthers?
I am going to take Arizona here. I think that line's an overreaction.
Me
getting
too.
Around 6 against the Raiders, to me, that's an overreaction. So Panthers, Raiders, Chargers tonight, and I'm probably going to bet Jacksonville plus the 4.5. To me, the Colts shouldn't be favored by 4 over anyone. I did want to get your thoughts, though. We were texting yesterday. Otani, is he more likely to win the MVP or not get one single first place vote? And I'll throw another question at you. You can, you know, sort of play with this after the break. Over under, how many first place votes will Otani get? What would you set that line at?
He is more likely, what was it, more likely to win or not get a first place vote?
Yes, which is more likely?
I'll say to win, because someone's got to give him a first place vote, right? Okay. Somebody.
How about an over under? How many first place votes does he get? I have a number in mind.
5.5.
I said 3.5.
Yeah. 30 total votes, correct?
Right.
I'll say 5.5, 3.5. It's low. I mean, I would agree it's low.
Can somebody post a market on that, or that is completely illegal, right?
I don't think they'll post a market on that. Yeah.
It's too bad. It's a shame.
When you open your sports book, though, I'm waiting for that kind of thing. Will Hill,
I'm
gonna everybody.
Ban you, though.
Not me, Will Hill. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Joe Pita on Circus Survivor and Millions next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your football season on the right foot by subscribing to VSiN Pro. Get full access to everything we do, including all of these things. First, our daily picks at a glance recap of the top plays made by VSiN show host and guests. 24/7 video season prep that includes our weekly college and pro football matchup guides covering every game all season long. Pro tools, that's stuff like our exclusive betting splits. And pro tips, updated every hour with actionable insights up to your to up your betting game, that is. Sign up on our discounted football special and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175, or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Our next guest, of course, was first known to sports bettors from his tremendous baseball write-ups that were done analytically and were done sort of so well that he ended up, let's say, catching the eye of many of us, ended up on ESPN Chalk writing baseball write-ups for many years. He segued from baseball to the sport of golf, wrote the 2019 Masters Tour Guide with really a deep dive into Masters analytics that weren't publicly available, and now, once again, is trying to get himself to the top of the heap in both Circa Survivor and Circa Millions. It's our friend Joe Pita. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, good morning, Gil, and bucking to be the East Coast correspondent of the numbers game after spending a good amount of time in Jersey over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll get to that because I want to get to Profit Exchange and that experience of betting on exchanges, because people in New Jersey, people in Indiana, man, what a great thing to have it at their disposal. First, though, you are in Millions, you are in Survivor. Let's talk about Millions. How'd you do week number one?
Millions, 4-1. I think like you, 4-0 going into Sunday night, yep. And then missed on the Cowboys. Gil and I would trade it all. I would swap it for 1-4 if I could have had a little more success in Survivor. It's just incredible how much Survivor dominates your Sunday. Like 4-0, and I didn't even really care. Because I was sweating Survivor.
I totally agree with this, and I've said it for the last 2 years when doing Circus Survivor. I care little about anything else, right? I have bets going for real money. I have the millions. All I care about is more Survivor. How many entries did you start with? How many did you end up with after week one?
I upped from 3 to 5 this year, going with 5, because I had a nice run last year, but I only have 2 left. So 2 out of 5, and Gil, I don't know if you've mentioned this. I think this is a stat that you broadcast a lot as the season goes on. But those five picks last week, so before everything started, because there was no overlay this year, those five entries had an intrinsic value of $5,000, right? Mm-hmm. 1,000 an entry. I only have two left. They have an intrinsic value of $4,550, right?
Amazing.
So I barely dropped, even though I went, so I suppose this thinned out the field and it was good, but horribly disappointing for me because I avoided all of the landmines that I thought I saw, the Colts, the Titans, the 49ers. And unfortunately, I fell into a double pick on the Bengals, which honestly, I would make that pick again. I do not feel bad about that. And then I went with the Broncos, even though Broncos under total wins was one of my favorite bets. I might rethink that one, but anyway, yeah, two left, and I'm short stacked, so we'll play it from here.
I'm short stacked, he says. Yeah, but the intrinsic value thing is fascinating because so many people, again, 56.25% of the entire field knocked out. So you didn't lose. Like if we go back to your strokes gained thing, you didn't lose much on strokes gained. I guess is how we would characterize
right.
it. Yeah.
Oh, and Gil, I have to give a shout out to I don't know who it is. But the guy that picked the Seahawks
yes.
in Survivor, I am rooting for him the rest of the year. That is a guy who tried to take down the whole pot on week one. Like, that is more power to him.
So same with the guy who took the Bears, right? Like, both of those
sure.
guys.
Yes, yes.
They were trying yep. to win it in week number one. Good on them. That's how you play the game. All right, so what's your favorite? What do you think as we head into Circa Millions for this week? What plays are you pretty much certain, maybe that's overstating it, but what do you think will be part of your Circa Million five picks?
Yeah, three plays, and it kind of goes to your and Kelly. You guys talk about, hey, what are your preseason themes that you're sticking with? And then what are sort of your reactions to game one? I've got three plays that are definitely going to be played. Two of them are carryovers from preseason, and that's shorting the Raiders and shorting the Broncos. So I'm taking Arizona, and I'll be taking Houston. With the points in millions, I will also be taking Tampa Bay. I assume it's going to be 2.5 in millions and not three. I think we are just getting a gift from trend players. Those people who know that, you know, New Orleans has been a thorn in Tampa Bay's side. I wave it in. I'm just waving in the bucks on the money line, laying the points. I love it. And hopefully it's 2.5 for millions as well. Those three are locked in. I'll still work on the other two, but it will not be tonight's game.
Boy, Buccaneers, hugely popular pick on this show all week long. What could possibly go wrong, Joe?
Yeah,
what could possibly go wrong?
Of course.
Circa Millions. We Kelly and I went through it a bit yesterday, some of the big candidates for us. There's a lot of candidates this week. First of all, what are the two that got you through? Did you? Was it the same team or were the two different teams?
Survivor. It was different teams on Survivor. I got through with the Chargers. Again, sort of the anti-Raiders play, and I got through with the Eagles. I know the Eagles are a popular pick, Gil, but boy, I really like them. And that A.J. Brown pickup,
ooh,
that has
huge.
T.O. vibes all for a Philly guy. That has T.O. Deja vu all over it as far as getting the quarterback, you know, that big weapon. So I got through with those two. For this week's play, the Rams are definitely going to be one of them.
Ooh.
Haven't settled on the second pick. I will split up those picks, but the Rams will be one versus the Falcons. Haven't decided on the other ones.
No thought of saving the Rams. You're going to use them. Okay.
No, Gil, I am a survive and advance guy. Always, always, always. I'll play that game theory as we get closer to Thanksgiving and the Christmas week, and I will never play for the extra bonus at the end.
Okay, we have a few minutes here to talk about profit exchange. So this is you spent a lot of time in New Jersey, and just let's make the case for people who have this available to them in New Jersey and Indiana of why they ought to be betting on an exchange.
Well, Indiana is to come, and from what I understand from those guys, Ohio actually in early 2023 might be the
ooh,
next state.
Okay.
But the best part of the exchange, Gil, and we've talked about it, is the idea of network effects, right? The more people that use it as bettors, the more value it has to other people that were using it. And I think the even though this thing has just launched, and we're talking hundreds of users, you know, not thousands or 10,000s yet, and the proof is in the pudding on the NFL games, and I got a little piece of data for you here, and I think it's amazing. So on the 16 NFL games that were played last weekend, in the 15 minutes before kickoff, the average money line vig on all 16 games was 0.69%. Wow. That's the equivalent of minus 200 plus 194. Wow. Now, for comparisons, we know that Circa is probably the best traditional sports book in America in terms of how they treat bettors. Their average vig on those same games at the same time was 3.24%, which is the equivalent of minus 214 plus 185. That's an 80% savings on vig at profit. Now, of course, at Circa, you can get down $30,000. That's their limit per game. Could you do that in the exchange? Absolutely not. But you could easily get down a dime to, you know, to two dimes inside the Circa market on every side, on every NFL moneyline game. And on the primetime games, Gil, and again, this is sort of the idea of network effects because more people are focused on, you know, games that are played, you know, in single times. You know, Buffalo, Los Angeles, minus 118, plus 118. Tampa Bay, Dallas, minus 126, plus 124. Denver, Seattle, minus 265, plus 260. You know, that's a vig of less than a half percent on all three of those. I mean, you and I cut our teeth on baseball money lines, yeah, right? Could you imagine minus 265 plus 260?
God.
It just opens up, you know, it opens up so much creativity for bettors. And it's just a win for bettors. It's a great thing.
All right, so real quick then, let's do rapid fire. You know, let me ask you some questions to sort of counter this here. How much can I get down on this, first of all?
Yeah, so you could definitely, on those money lines, you can get a dime to two dimes down inside of your traditional bookmaker. And what I always say is, hey, take what you can inside the traditional bookmaker, and if you're trying to do more, it's not an either or. You can then use your traditional bookmaker to fill in the rest of your bet. You know, it's beer and tacos, not beer or tacos.
Sides and totals?
Yeah, so sides and totals at profit, all the sides and totals are trading just at even money. They will open that up to the more name your own price tool. But right now, if you can either pay even money or go to your traditional bookmaker if you can't find your bet.
All right, and then you mentioned like right before kickoff. What if I wanted to bet 5 days before the kickoff?
And this is where your traditional bookmaker has value, Gil. And this is why there's room for both of them, and why it's a complementary product. Absolutely, you can get down more money at traditional bookmakers early in the week, and they deserve their full spread for that. But as it gets closer, if you're a bettor, I think you have to pull. You have to have an exchange at your disposal, and in New Jersey right now, that's Prophet, and I just loved it.
Joe, I appreciate it. Good luck in Millions. Good luck, of course, in Survivor as well, but not too much good luck, if you know what I mean.
Good luck to the two of you, too. Hope we can talk about it for many weeks.
I hope so. At Magic Rat, SF for Joe Pita. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game. We're live from the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. How would you describe the South Point, Kelly, for those the uninitiated? Majestic, would you call it? Beacon in the desert?
Yeah, one of the great, I guess people refer to it as a locals casino in the Las Vegas area, but so much more than that with all the events that they host here for the bowling and the rodeo and equestrian events and everything throughout the summer. It's incredible.
The bowling and the rodeo and the equestrian events.
If you're like down at Mandalay Bay and then you're like, hey, where's the South Point at? We're 5 miles south of Mandalay Bay. Come on by and say hi.
When you fly in at night, you're like, wow, how much is their electricity bill at the South Point for lighting up the building that way? I think that's another thing.
Yes, the Golden Beacon, as you said. I'll tell you, this is probably the number one place. If you're looking for a craps game or a blackjack game at about 11 a.m. on a Tuesday, Gil, don't come to the South Point because tables are full.
We're amazed
they
every
are
day
full
when
it's
we
amazing.
Walk out of here. It's incredible. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Gee Wheezy, Evian is better. Oh, stop it. Nemesis Enforcer, Evian better than Fiji.
I told him it was in my tier two.
He's made tears now. Wreaking Havoc. Lies, Liquid Death or Poland Spring, I'll die on that hill. Z Free took a big number on anal beads and it hit. You really have to listen.
Liquid Death? Was that what that was?
That's what he said. I have no idea.
Say just said it's good too in my ear. I've never even seen that.
Locks or locks? He says, let's cease the Dylan Cease for Cy Young talk. How's he favored over Verlander and Fromber? It's ridiculous. He says, I'm looking for a Fromber ticket. I think you have a great shot. I do too, man. Let's see here. Let's see. Oh, so many responses to different subjects, but we'll, Jeff Kuykendall. I've used Joe's book, Trading Bases, talking about Joe Pita now, as the main foundation to my MLB betting model for 7 years now, to much success. My thanks to Joe. So shout out to Joe Pita, our most recent guest here on the show. And then Mr. B, with just a little scheduling note, because we were talking about three consecutive home games with the Giants. He points out the Patriots, Colts, and Bucks will all be playing three consecutive road games. Oh, no, pardon me. He's just talking about two consecutive here in week number two. Since 2019, if you're into this kind of thing, teams playing consecutive road games in week two, 8-0 against the number.
Lock it up!
I'm not into those kind of things, but okay, for those who like those kind of things. All right, so tonight, Thursday Night Football, could you ask for, I mean, the Bills and the Rams, maybe the best matchup you could ask for last week. Chargers-Chiefs, not much of a knockdown from that.
Not far behind. You and I talk about this all the time of the how much sports would you really watch if you didn't bet on sports, right? I would still be watching this game 100% start to finish tonight.
I'd watch this.
This is an incredible NFL game. The NFL, period, you'd still watch no matter what.
I mean, listen, but Kelly, it's a big choice between this and WNBA Game 3, but seriously, I'd go with this.
Wait, did they do it again?
They've done it again.
What are they doing?
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. The WNBA has decided we're going to do game one on a football Sunday. And we're going to do game three on this.
What are they doing?
I have no idea.
It's going to be on the side TV tonight. Dude, at least we caught breakdancing the other night, breakdance battles two nights ago.
Thank
Did
God.
You catch last night at all?
No.
There's just nothing on. Maybe if you're a baseball fan out there. I'm not. Kelly Bidlin, welcome to the show. Let me introduce myself. I don't watch baseball, really.
Have you met Kelly Bidlin before, everybody?
So, yes, I had the Cardinals Brewers on one of my TVs, but because there was nothing else on.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's when you got to finish up the season of Never Have I Ever. You got to watch an Anthrax documentary, that kind of thing.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Learn some things. Educate yourself.
You have some prop bets? So let's review what we've had tonight. So Kelly and I, not doing anything pre-flop side or total, but Will Hill, who was on the show, likes the Chargers plus the points. We had the great John Legace come on here. He likes the over on Juju in terms of receiving yards, Juju Smith-Schuster. What props do you like here tonight, Kelly?
Yeah, and that is one. Yeah, as far as the game goes, I'm with you. Side or total, I am staying away from pregame. I just can't even really see myself jumping in live. I don't even know what the scenario would be that I actually would jump in live. And usually you and I always have kind of a situation that we feel like if this happened in the game, we would jump in live. I think there's still a little bit of unknown for me with the Chiefs. I think they're somewhere in between taking a step back from last year, which was kind of my prior belief on this team heading into the season, somewhere in between that and somewhere in between what we saw them do last week to the Cardinals, right? So I think that's mainly why I'm staying away from this, because I am very high on the Chargers, as are you this season.
Yep.
Otherwise, I would probably be jumping in on this, but no, I'm staying away. Prop bets. Look, I think the Chiefs wide receivers could be good to target in that. I understand John going with Juju there. I think Valdez Scantling is also important to bring up. He actually had 51 snaps in that last game, more than any other wide receiver for Kansas City. Ran 33 routes, only had 4 targets though. So with the depleted secondary on the Chargers side, those targets, could even out between some of the Kansas City wide receivers. I think an over on his yardage play could be good. I do think we're going to see these teams moving the ball, up and down the field here tonight with these great quarterbacks that we have. So, Juju, I understand. I think you could go Valdez-Scantling, too. That's the one I'm looking at. It's just kind of a shorter number than what Juju's sitting at right now. But I think either one of those could be good plays. I understand that. Matt Brown, I believe, is on Austin Eckler for receiving yards. I do think that's a good play to go over on as well tonight. I think that with no Keenan Allen in there for the Chargers, Eckler is going to get more involved in the passing game. 35.5, I believe, is where I saw his receiving yardage at. 37.5 is what we have up here from DraftKings. Saw 35.5, though, earlier today. I think he had 36 in his last game. You often see this with the Chargers, especially now that they have a couple more backs back there, Joshua Kelly and Sony Michel. I think they'll be more willing to lean on Austin Eckler in the receiving game a bit more. So I do like his overall receiving yardage. I haven't bet either one of those yet, but I might end up on those before the game starts. As far as rushing and passing goes, Gil, with these two teams, who the heck knows, right? I mean, yes, I think Eckler's going to be a massive part of the Chargers' offense, but I think it's going to be a little bit more split up between receiving and rushing for him. And then, yeah, I think both these quarterbacks are going to have huge games tonight, but I'm not running to bet over 2.5 touchdown passes with either one of them or anything like that. However, I think this is a good example, Gil, where we were talking about this last Thursday night's game. When you have games like this, and it's not a prop I often bet, but pass touchdowns, just because it can fluctuate so much with these marquee quarterbacks, right? You're seeing 1.5 on Herbert, juice to the over at -250. Mahomes 2.5, juice to the under at -135. You get +105 there on the over. This is why I was freaking out about these numbers last week, though. Because we had the Bills and Rams, another game where you expected a lot of offense, and we were seeing 1.5 on both those quarterbacks at about -150, -160 on the over. I laid -160 with Josh Allen, the easy winner there. I think these are, it's just the constant, one of the reminders we can constantly give out that I think is never bad is, especially if you have access to DraftKings and all these books on the, I mean, MGM and all these books on the East Coast, go through all the markets they post. There are sometimes you're going to find numbers that you might think are a little off. It's because they are a little off sometimes. And that was an example last week. I think comparing to that to this game tonight is a pretty good comparison.
Nice job. By the way, Matt Brown, who you mentioned, a frequent guest here of A Numbers Game. He'll be on tomorrow. He's also the co-host of Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni each and every Monday through Friday here, 4 to 6 Eastern, 1 to 3 Pacific on VSiN. Okay, so as far as adjusted season win totals, let's just focus on the AFC here today. We'll do the NFC tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is inspired because after week one last year, I came on A Numbers Game and I did a whole thing about how did the Broncos season win total after a win that they were supposed to have, they were favored against the Giants. How did they go from 7.5 or 8.5 all the way up to 10.5? You got to pound the under, and the under got home. Is there anything comparable to that this year? Well, the short answer is no, nothing that ridiculous. By the way, I had Johnny Avello on last year. I was like, why did you make this adjustment, Johnny? He didn't really have an answer for it either. So just focusing on the AFC teams, we got a few tweets about this. Somebody asked me about the Steelers I mentioned earlier. Hey, the Steelers won a game they weren't supposed to. They were 6.5-point dogs. Why hasn't their total moved off of 7.5? Well, because of the TJ Watt injury. That sort of counters their winning a game they're not supposed to. The team that sort of went counterintuitive based on a loss that they were, you know, a dog in, is the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jacksonville Jaguars before the season were 6.5. They lose a game as a slight dog to the Washington Commanders, and they go down to 5.5. And so the question becomes, is that enough of a curious adjustment for you to want to bet the Jaguars over at 5.5? Because of all the AFC teams, we'll talk about the NFC tomorrow. Of all the AFC teams, that's the most counterintuitive one after week one. What say you?
Man, nothing for me.
I'm not sprinting.
But look, I'm also that guy who went into the season, and this is where I think, look, these are posted every week now, which is amazing. So it also means there's no pressure to make one of these bets every single week, right? So my advice on the Jags would be I got to sit and wait and see them another game or two. Because there's just so many. You get ETN back in that offense now. There's just new pieces, another year of Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. Listen. This is the stuff I used to say on my podcast on Beating the Book. We're doing the Megapod after the show. I used to say this on A Numbers Game. This is the stuff I used to do, a secret stock market thing off the grid. It was an old Lehman Brothers secret where it was like the biggest thing at Lehman Brothers for many years off the grid. Now we can do it out in the open, adjusted season win totals week after week. So you got to take advantage. But the Jags are the only one that's sort of counterintuitive after week one in the AFC, but I'm not sprinting to the window. Numbers Game, Jason Weingart.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? Well, you could also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. From under a cloud of smoke, somewhere in Southern California, at Spreadopedia. Ladies and gentlemen, the host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast, it's Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Just hanging out at the vet with my dog, getting them all fixed up so I could rescue another dog when these MLB futures hit, hopefully.
Which futures are on the cusp of hitting?
Looking good on the AL Rookie of the Year. I think we got Julio. Michael Harris has jumped to the favorite. It's like minus 130, minus 115, so they're kind of dealing co-favorites for the Harris Strider. Looking all right there. At least I can hedge off with some Strider if necessary, and hopefully we can take home some Cy Youngs.
People should. So I text Jason yesterday morning. I was like, dude, I couldn't resist any longer. I grabbed Framber Valdez at 50-1. I grabbed the Braves to win the division at plus 175 just now. And Jason shoots me back with, oh yeah, I got him at 80-1. How long ago did you make the Valdez bet?
About a week ago.
Nice. Now, do you don't believe, like, so I'm really of the conviction that he is actually going to win this. Like, this isn't some, oh, it's a good number bet for me. This is like, I really think he's winning this. You don't necessarily think that yet.
I think it's a possibility, but I think it's, you know, more work left to be done, and it's not necessarily, you know, in his control. He probably needs Verlander to have a, you know, average or bad start, at least one.
At least one, because you think if Verlander comes out lights out here against the Athletics, then it's going to tip right back to Justin Verlander.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't want it to,
right.
But it might.
Well, yeah, I should hope not, man. 24 quality starts in a row. That's just ridiculous. What did you bet? Did you bet any baseball today?
I did not. I was out all night last night. I didn't have a chance to even look at the card today. It was a little bit of a challenge.
Did you bet Thursday night football at all tonight?
I bet Khalil Mack to win the Defensive Player of the Year. And I actually bet the Saints money line this weekend, Saints plus 120. That's my favorite bet there.
So there.
I bet the Seahawks again. I bet them plus 330.
You bet
money line. So two money lines there.
Two money lines. So let me go back to the Saints, because we were just saying how many people love the Bucks on this show all week long, and then here you come strolling in, and you're like, oh, Saints money line. What's your thinking on that?
I didn't think the Bucks were that good last week, and they played a really bad Cowboys team.
Well, I agree with both of those statements, but you must be higher on the Saints than most.
Very much.
And why is that?
I like Taysom Hill way more than everybody. I bet him to win Offensive Player of the Year at 100-1 too. I just wrote about that actually in my Beeson thing that comes out today.
You wrote about Taysom Hill. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. There's some strong feelings about Taysom Hill going around on either side. That's for sure. And then the other one that you played again was the Seahawks. Now you have Geno Smith to win. I'm sorry, I was trying to get through that without chuckling. You have Geno Smith to win the MVP at 750-1, which is just a cartoon number, which I'm sure is why you bet it. But you like them to win outright against the Niners. Is this as much a you like Geno thing as you don't like a Trey Lance thing?
Not totally that I don't like Trey Lance. You know, I'm willing to throw out week one results. It's a long season, and, you know, don't draw conclusions from one bad game. He's still a very talented quarterback. I just think, you know, we saw a very good Seahawks defense. We saw a very motivated Pete Carroll coaching up that defense this last week. And I didn't understand how they opened up plus 10. I thought it moved to 8.5. But just a big money line for a team that I thought played relatively well last week. And, you know, I thought it was too high, basically. Another bet I like Pete Carroll, Coach of the Year at 40-1, sort of a make the playoff derivative. You know, you're going to get like 4-1 on the Seahawks to make the playoffs. You're getting 40-1 on Coach of the Year. If the Seahawks make the playoffs with Pete Carroll coaching Geno Smith, I would probably give him a much better than 40-1 chance to be in the conversation.
Oh, I would agree with that. If they were to make the playoffs with that, yes, a 71-year-old Pete Carroll will get a lot of sentiment from voters, that's for sure. By the way, can we flash up those Coach of the Year odds real quick, guys? It was just off screen there. The short shots are Brandon Staley, Brian Daboll, and Mike McDaniel, right? So you have two first-year coaches among the three short shots. You have three out of the four because Kevin O'Connell is next at 12-1. You like the Carroll bet better than any of those?
At the odds at the moment, yeah. After week one, yes. Especially because I'm a very, you know, it's a very big thing in my world, you know, when I'm projecting playoffs and futures, whether or not you start 0-2 or 1-1 or 2-0. You know, the 0-2 is not where you want to be in the NFL. It's not, doesn't mean you're not going to make the playoffs. It just means you've got a lot of work cut out for you. So, you know, the Seahawks getting to 2-0 this week, I'd be very happy to be holding Pete Carroll 40-1 in that position.
All right, let me go back to baseball before we get out of here, because I want to ask you just generally about, you know, the postseason and the World Series. But first, something that Josh Towers, our own Josh Towers, said on this show yesterday when he was kind enough to join us in studio. He was talking about, now he's a Shohei guy, but he also respects everything that Aaron Judge has done. I think that sort of represents how you feel as well. But what he was saying yesterday, and this got a lot of reaction, he was saying, hey, look, if the Yankees clinch the division, right, we're talking about roughly, you know, 20 games league-wide left, 19, 20 games left league-wide now. He's like, if the Yankees clinch the division, like, say, in 10 games, so halfway through the remainder of the schedule, and Aaron Judge has 59 homers, let's say, he actually thinks the Yankees are going to sit him. Do you agree with that?
0%. I mean, that would be, do you think they're going to sit him?
I do not. I said, I don't think, I was, I couldn't believe that he said that. I was curious, but he's played the game. We haven't, right? He was convinced of that.
I mean, I defer to people who have the experience, you know how things work in that case, but I can't see them. I mean, especially with the contract on the line and, you know, I can't see Aaron Judge being happy about that. Hey, you're going to sit and not get this record. And, you know, the market seems to think he's locked in. I saw Ohtani's up to 15-1 at FanDuel, so they're telling me I'm done.
Will Hill had a great question here earlier on the show when he said, "What do you think is more likely, Ohtani wins MVP or Ohtani doesn't get a single vote
for first place?"
Yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't get a single first-place vote, you should probably disband the BBWAA. I mean, I think you should disband the BBWAA anyway. But, you know, I mean, to say he doesn't deserve a single first-place vote is, you know, just being absolutely blind.
Well, he's not saying that, just to be clear. He's not saying that. He just thought the question was interesting. He set the over-under on first-place votes for Ohtani at 3.5. I'll be honest with you. I set it at 5.5. I have a feeling it's not going to be a lot of guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, at this point, like, you know, what I think and what Aaron Judge is doing, like, you know, the home runs play, and I think he's going to get some votes. I think it's sort of disingenuous that Ohtani could be the unanimous MVP last year and not get any votes this year when he's having, you know, a better season for all intents and purposes, but Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge. Gil, I got to run though. I got the vet here with me. So
Jason Weingarten,
I'll be back tomorrow though.
with the veterinarian. Enjoy. Good luck with the dogs, Jason Weingarten.
Thank you. Talk later.
Take care. He's got to run. Vet appointment. Vet is there, and the vet apparently can't be bothered by this little pesky radio show. So you know you got to take care of the dogs. Your pro tip of the hour: make sure to keep an eye on in-season win totals throughout the season. We're talking NFL now. This was once something done off the grid in the shady back rooms of really large Wall Street companies. But now it's out in the open. Legalized sportsbooks now have done it for several years, where every week they update and adjust season win totals. Of course, people who are new to betting, they take it for granted. I didn't used to do this. We used to have season win totals pre-flop, and then you never saw them again. Well, make sure to keep an eye on them. They can provide great value to bettors in a market that isn't as heavily bet into as preseason win totals are. So take a look at those. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 a day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Lombardi Line is next. I got a megapod to do right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.